Scripture commands us to deny the sinful desires of the flesh, ignoring the cries of our body for the pleasures that sin affords. Giving in is most certainly enjoyable for the moment, but the long-term ramifications just aren't worth it. We must choose to live each and every day with the understanding that yielding to the sinful desires of our flesh compromises our ability to successfully run the race. We will not be able to fulfill our life's purpose. Well, welcome to the Point of Purity podcast. I'm your host, Steve Etner, author, national speaker, and certified professional mentor and purity coach for the Pure Man Ministry. This is episode 171. In this week's episode, we continue our mini-series on glorifying God as together we discover how thinking impacts doing. This week's episode is simply entitled, Run the Race. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, the Apostle Paul writes this, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Paul uses a reference here to the Greek games from which we get our modern day Olympics. He likens the Christian life to that of a long distance runner who is running with a singular goal in mind, running in such a way as to get the prize. Now, I'm not much of a runner. In fact, truth be told, I don't run at all. But I do know that in order to run the distance, you have to be in shape. In verse 25 of our opening text, Paul says, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training." This strict training involves putting your body through some significant disciplines. I mean, the runner must not only exercise, but he or she must also be very attentive about what's being put into their body. The right kind of foods, no alcohol, no smoking, definitely no illicit drugs, and on the list can go. Each runner must daily train in such a way that he or she is able to control the unfruitful longings and desires of the flesh so that they can accomplish the ultimate goal, standing on the winner's podium at the end of the race. If not disciplined in their training, they run the high risk that those selfish longings, those desires, are going to get in the way of achieving the ultimate goal of winning the race. So the athlete must daily, often moment by moment, deny the fleshly desires, ignoring the cries of their body for rest, relaxation, just the pleasures of certain foods. The one who trains for the run must constantly push and exert their body, taking it to the limit and beyond. They begrudgingly know that if they choose to give in and yield to those fleshly desires, well, the bottom line is they will not be able to finish the course and win the prize. Well, as a born-again believer, as a Christian, you and I should also deny the desires of the flesh. We should ignore the sinful cries of our body for the pleasures that sin affords. Giving in is enjoyable. Let's admit it. It's pleasurable for the moment. But the long-term ramifications aren't worth it. So we must choose to live each and every day, each and every moment, with the understanding that yielding to the sinful desires of my flesh will compromise my ability to successfully run the race. I will not be able to fulfill my life's purpose, which, as 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether I eat or drink or whatever I do, I'm to glorify God." Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever I do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus." If I'm feeding the flesh, I'm not going to be able to achieve that goal. Now, Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25, "They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." The athlete running in a race knows that there's a risk that he or she will not win. So they push themselves most of the time beyond their limits just so that they might win the prize at the end of the race. I want to submit that Paul's point in this text is that the Christian is also running in a race that requires spiritual training. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, that bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. In Romans 15, verse 4, he writes, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." Romans 15, 4. The bottom line for the Christian is this: all Scripture is breathed out by God. That means that all Scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Now, the exciting thing about the race that we as Christians are running is that every born-again believer, every Christian who applies themselves to careful training is guaranteed the win. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us," Hebrews 12:1. Hey, let's face it, running the race is not easy. It requires endurance through the rough times. It means persevering through the pain of trials and testings. It means pushing through by the power of the Spirit of God through everything. The only way we can run like this is if we go into strict spiritual training. Now, we know we're not running for a gold medal that'll eventually tarnish and sit in a closet somewhere. We are running to receive a crown that will last forever, 1 Corinthians 9:25. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, "And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing," 2 Timothy 4:8. You see, this promised prize, my friend, is one that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It's kept in heaven for you, 1 Peter 1, verse 4. When an athlete is preparing for the main event, he places specific restrictions upon himself. He's very careful about his diet, his sleep habits, his exercise, and so on. He sets up a daily routine and tries hard to not deviate from it. It doesn't come naturally for him. It's a requirement that he submits himself to. I suggest it's no different for you and for me. If we expect to grow and excel in our spiritual life, we must place specific restrictions upon ourselves and abide by them. That's why Paul said we should never try to live the Christian life without a purpose or goal in mind. 1 Corinthians 9:25 and 26, "All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step." Think about this. The person who runs with a purpose is looking straight ahead. He's focused on the end goal. All of his attention is zeroed in on the finish line. We are, as Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 says, we are to strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And we're to run with endurance or patience the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Think about it. The person who's running with a purpose doesn't quit. The person who's running with a purpose doesn't give up. The person who's running with purpose and intent pushes on no matter what. Paul expressed it this way in Philippians 3, verse 14. He said, "I press on to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling me." He says, "I press on." To press on means to run swiftly, run hard, run fast in order to catch that which you're pursuing. In other words, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't let the enemy defeat you. Paul then moves his illustration from the athlete running on the track to that of a boxer who is shadow boxing in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26. Think about a shadow boxer. A shadow boxer is beating the air, the Apostle Paul said, instead of hitting an opponent. Now, shadow boxing certainly can help the boxer warm up his muscles and get into a rhythm, but it does not constitute real boxing. He's hitting the air. He's not fighting his adversary. Shadow boxing is simply a means of getting ready for the main event or for showing off. In real boxing, there's a purpose to each and every blow. Paul's point, I believe, is this. If all we ever do is spiritually shadow box, if all we ever do is put on a show for others, we will not know or experience genuine spiritual victory in the midst of the battle. We need to actually get into the ring and start throwing punches and strike precise blows against the enemy, which in this case is our sinful flesh. Are you catching this? We need to strike blows against our body. That leads us to verse 27 in our text, where Paul says, "No, I beat my body and I make it my slave." Why is he doing that? Because as he said in Romans 7, verse 18, "I know that nothing good dwells in me," that is, in my flesh. You see, my friend, if you do not submit control of your body to the Holy Spirit, that King me-oriented, King me-centered flesh will lead you down the path of sin every single time, just like we talked last week about the car with its wheels out of alignment. The choice is always yours. Don't let your body's sinful desires dictate to you what you will and will not do. It must not ever exercise kingly authority over us. I've quoted to you before God's warning to Cain just before he killed his brother Abel in Genesis 4:7. Let me quote it to you again, where God said, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it," Genesis 4:7. God's will for you, my friend, is that you be sanctified, that you live a life that is set apart for him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, "God's will is for you to be holy." That's why each of you must control his own body and live in holiness and honor. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 4. See, when you choose to give in to the sinful desires of your flesh, you are choosing to not do what is right. You are choosing to do what is wrong. You are choosing to worship a false god, namely King Me, and that's idolatry. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, Paul says, "Don't you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body." As a Christian, Ephesians 4:1, we are to live a life worthy of the calling we have received. We are commanded in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, to cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God. You know what that means? That means take control of your body, my friend. Continuing to look at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, we see that Paul says he beats his body. It's a very strong term here, to beat your body. It means to turn black and blue. Now, on the surface, it might appear that Paul's advocating what we call self-flagellation, hitting yourself with a whip or beating yourself with a baseball bat. I assure you, that's not what he's talking about. This concept of beating my body in Scripture refers to treating your body with severity, to subject it to stern and rigid discipline, leaving no room for error. Let me explain. Paul puts it this way in Romans 6:19. "I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present the members of your body as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification." Beating your body means saying no to the flesh. No, I'm not going to let you give in to that sinful desire. My personal struggle, if you've stayed with this podcast for any length of time, you know my testimony. I wrestled for over 30 years with an addiction to lust and porn and masturbation. My body craved the pop and the rush that that particular sinful addiction gave me. And for a long period of time, as I was denying myself those sinful pleasures, my body felt like it was being beat up. It was painful. It hurt. But I'm so glad I took that stand. I'm so glad that I said no to the power of the flesh. Scripture commands us to deny the sinful pleasures that the flesh so desperately craves. We're to be stern and rigid in the discipline of our body. Oh, my friend, no matter how much your flesh may cry out for satisfaction and fulfillment, if what it's craving does not bring glory to God, you must choose to deny what it wants. You must choose to submit control of the body over to God. And let's face it, often that'll involve great difficulty and even sometimes pain, which is why Paul said, I beat my body. What's interesting to me also is that Paul writes this in the present tense, active voice, and indicative mood. Again, that may sound familiar to you because we've talked about those terms before. But the present tense means this, every moment of every day, you need to beat your body and make it a slave to the godly desires of the new nature. Right now, right now, right now. You can never let up. And if you don't, the bottom line is, it's not going to get done. That's the active voice. No one else can do it to you or for you. You have to make that decision yourself. And the fact is, there's no room for deliberation on this. It's a simple statement of fact. That's the indicative mood. Okay, we're going to hit the pause button yet again. Until next week's episode, we will continue our mini-series on how to glorify God in next week's episode. But in the meantime, if you'd like to learn more about this study, or if you're interested in learning more about the Pure Man Ministry and what we do to help men literally across the globe find freedom and victory over sexual sin through a deep dive Bible study, a 12-week Bible study that we call the Point of Purity Program, then I encourage you to visit our website. On our website, there is a multitude of resources that we've made available to you. You can find the website at The Purity Coach. It's all one word, thepuritycoach.com. And if you've not yet subscribed to this podcast, let me encourage you, do so today. I don't want you to miss any of the upcoming episodes. We've got some good ones coming down the pipe. So until next time, this is author, speaker, certified professional mentor, and purity coach Steve Etner for the Pure Man Ministry, reminding you that if you're going to glorify God in your everyday living, He must first be glorified in your every moment. Thank you.